The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Strategies for Financial Survival with Michael Figueroa. When financial adversity hits, and it very well may hit you, it's those that educate themselves and use their skills that will survive, no matter what field you're in. Now, here's your host, Michael Figueroa.
Good morning, everyone. Well, we have two more shows. That's today, and the last one will be taped. And in today's, we're going to go through one more example of a person that I work with who is doing her own company and actually helps people establish their company. She is a legal assistant and holds the licenses to do the work that we're going to talk about today. And so I kind of consider her to be my legal associate, you might say. So we're going to go over some examples there. And then the last show, I'm going to do a wrap-up of how everything we talked about for the entire 13 weeks all comes together. And I believe we're probably going to have another show in a number of months down the line. So you'll be able to tune in for that when that comes up. So today, we're going to talk about doing business plans a little bit more. And my guest today is Jessica Miller.
Hello. How are you,
and
Michael?
Jess, will you... I'm doing good. Will you give the audience a bit about your resume, background, history, so they have a feel for where you started and how you got to where you're at now and why you're doing what you're doing now?
I sure can. Well, let's see here. I have a little over 10 years of legal experience under the direction of an attorney. I started in high school. My mother is a paralegal with 20 plus experience. So I kind of, you know, after school jobs, summer jobs, something of that sort, and just really loved the legal community and the research and everything that goes into the legal process. So from there, I just went from a receptionist to a clerk to a legal secretary. And finally, through substantial years in the community, was deemed a paralegal, so to speak. But in a lot of states, you're just a legal assistant. That's kind of where I started. I worked in family law offices. I did civil litigation. I was a lead paralegal on a class action lawsuit here in Tucson, Arizona, against the city of Tucson for the cap water incidents that happened in the early 90s, late 80s. And from there, it just kind of grew. I did exit the legal community for a little bit and went and worked for First Magnus Financial for a little over 5 years and ran their scratch and dent market, selling data tape rolls to investors at a discount. So I did a lot of negotiations, a lot of loan data, a lot of loan fixing. First Magnus kind of went away due to the big property bubble burst, I went back into the legal community and really got tired of working for everybody else. and kind of partnered up with you, Michael, who has definitely broadened my legal experience in regards to real estate and corporate law. I've been with you now, worked with you, partnered with you, or associated with you for over 4.5 years, and finally took the reins of a dream I had. And with the help of you, I was able to start Precision Legal Preparation. And that's where we are now, where we offer discounted legal services without the direction of an attorney. So, of course, we are very limited on any kind of legal advice or anything of that sort. But we definitely have partnered up with a lot of attorneys here in town and have gotten a lot of assistance from them and have been able to really utilize forms that most doc prep companies can't. And here we are today.
Well, one of the things that is very important in the show and for our listeners is the concept of how to start something when either you've been laid off or different reasons have come into your life that you have to give up a salary job with a big company, okay, or you've just had enough of being an employee and you want to do your own arrangement. So this is very important, and you're a perfect example of how to start out, especially since coming out of Magnus and then doing your own thing is the life path of how do you do that, how do you arrange that. So that's what we want to talk about today.
Okay.
So looking at our outline, as we went through this, some of the issues that come up. So somebody says, I want to start a business, and I'm thinking of how to do that. So if we look at some of these ideas, explain to our audience how someone bumps into you or how you market yourself. And the important thing is different people that will meet with you, they'll say, you know, I've been thinking for years about doing my own thing. I want to start something on my own. And how do I do that, actually? How do I get started? How do I form an entity? How do I start a bank account? How do I put the parts together to get maybe an investor to put money in? And in the show, we've talked about specific issues in regards to CPAs, to attorneys, to business plans. But you're going to be a perfect example of the small business person that says, I'm going to start something, whether it's a hair salon, a small restaurant. It's not a multi-million dollar structure to buy apartment complexes. So give some examples of what you've seen in our office and other situations that you've been out there with as to how people come about thinking about this and where they go and what they do and how you advise them.
Okay. Well, just from the beginning, anybody that's going to come to me, whether they're looking at me to retain my services or just kind of talking about it in conversation through meeting you in a restaurant or maybe some of my friends who have talked to me, the first place to start is your business plan. Reason being is because that's going to give you an idea of really the work and the effort that you're going to have to put into starting your own business. It sounds cool and exciting to, I've been a hairdresser for 20 years. I want to start my own company and do my own salon. There's a lot of things that you have to think about and that come into play, including, are you going to bring in private investors? Are you going to do this on your own with your own savings? Do you want to have a partner who comes in and helps capitalize the business? There are so many different facets that you have to think of when starting up a business that you don't think about when you're dreaming, such as startup costs. How much are you going to be an LLC? Are you going to be a corporation? Most layman people don't think of those minute details that really are the big details down the road. Because if you don't establish your company correctly first, you're going to run into problems down the line. And that's where a lot of people come in and say, well, I need to hire an attorney. I need to hire a CPA. And a lot of times you don't. Really starting a business from scratch is just you living on a dream, starting out with peanuts, being very basic, only doing the things that you need, and can really start up a company yourself and go to a doc prep, or some people can actually start the actual formation of a business on their own through your Secretary of State or your Corporation Commission, depending on how your state is run. But to me, the best part is to go with your business plan, because that's going to give you an idea on where to start to strategize. Then your next step will be, how do you set up that company? Is it an LLC? Is it a corporation? What's going to serve you better? What's going to protect you the best? And that's where you really want to do your research. As a certified legal document preparer, unfortunately, I cannot give you legal advice, but I could definitely explain the differences between each entity, explain on a general basis the tax benefits or tax falls that kind of won't benefit you depending on the different company that you want to set up. So you after the business plan, talk about how you want to set it up. Is an LLC going to be better for you? Is a corp going to be better for you? And that's where you'll start initially.
So when someone comes to you on that, I know that one of the things that we do is we'll help walk them through how to get a bank account set up.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the entity issues mm-hmm. that have to be dealt with, and employee issues, how to contract out. So in regards to that, let's talk a little bit about as the person comes in and you're going over the forms of mm-hmm. Business. Give a bit of a background on what you're going to say to them more explicitly.
Well, first of all, I'm going to find out what kind of entity or company structure do they want to set up. Are they looking at a corporation? Are they looking at an LLC? I'm going to initially explain the differences between a corporation and LLC. An LLC will give you the same limited liability coverage as a corporation will, but then you're getting down to tax benefits between a corporation and an LLC. In the state of Arizona and in most states, an LLC is probably the least expensive and the easiest thing to set up for you. You can always incorporate at a later date if your company becomes very profitable and you want to kind of reap the benefits of a corp tax structure. So the first thing is I would probably steer, a beginning person, especially if it's going to be a single member LLC, or maybe you've got two people that are wanting to start this business, I'll probably steer them more into the LLC. It's cost effective. It's, you're going to get the same benefits tax-wise as far as a corporation as you would in an LLC. So that's where I would lead them. And then from there, you're going to ask them, who are going to be your members? Are you going to have private investors who come in and capitalize the company that you don't want to have any management ability over the day-to-day operations of the company? When you start asking these kind of questions, you start figuring out what kind of entity this person wants to, which would benefit them. If you're going to have private investors come in that aren't necessarily going to have any, say over the operations of the company, then you probably want to look at a manager-managed LLC, because the members who would be the investors really don't have say over how the LLC or the business is run, and they're going to appoint a manager who doesn't have a vested interest in the company to really manage the operations of the company on a day-to-day basis without any bias, without any selfish intent. If you have a business partner and you both want to have equal say in how the business is run and how the profits are split, then I'd probably lean that client more towards a member-managed LLC, because then all the members have an equal share, or depending on how you want to agree to the split of the profits and losses of the company, they would be able to be more intricate, and you would have to basically get, both people would have to be on the same page in order to move forward on any kind of decisions for the company. So that'd be the first step that we would start, is how do you set that up?
Now, One thing I want to go over that we've dealt with is the operating agreement or the bylaws at a corporation and things related to buyout provisions and what powers people have. And we have to go to a break now. But when we come back, we'll talk about some of those issues and some war stories so people understand how critical it is that these documents be prepared correctly. So let's go to a break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about that issue.
Sounds good.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
At Intuitive Strategies, LLC, we provide services to our clients that help them develop a strong education in business. And we also help them to develop a strategy that will allow them to turn their skills into a profit, protect their business and personal assets, and plan for a successful retirement. Our consulting and structuring services include business analysis, budget analysis, management analysis, ability to raise capital from investors, tax planning to minimize tax liability under code, as well as legal structure to protect business from frivolous lawsuits. Intuitive Strategies also provides document preparation services, such as business structuring documents, documents that establish an entity, management agreements, retirement plans, estate planning, wills, and trusts. Let Intuitive Strategies help you with your business. Visit intuitivestartup.com or call us in Tucson at 520-425-8759. Visit intuitivestartup.com today. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. You are listening to Strategies for Financial Survival with your host, Michael Figueroa. If you have a question or comment about the program, please send us an email to support@intuitivestartup.com. That's support@intuitivestartup.com. Now, back to Strategies for Financial Survival.
Welcome back, everyone. So let's talk a little bit about problem areas that pop up when you set up a business. First of all, I want to mention, if you're going to have an investor, and I've invested in numerous types of businesses over the years, and what I want to know is, if I put money in a business, how do I get it out? That's the critical item. So let's say I'm going to invest money in, am I going to be secured? So am I going to have a lien on the furniture, equipment, the automobiles, or the real estate, or all of it? And how liquid is that collateral? If I had to repossess it, and then I repossess it, or did it move someplace? And it could move anywhere. If it has wheels, it will move. And the other item is, are the partners compatible? One of the things that my mentor taught me was, if you get into a situation where the partners are fighting with each other, you're in a doomed business. It's going to fall apart. And I relate to my clients that if they are going to go into a partnership together, basically they're getting married. They're just not going to have children, but they're getting married.
Right.
And they're going to be living together. They're going to be dealing with each other together. And if you think about it, a partnership deals, it might deal from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. on a certain basis. And then you deal with your family from thereafter and on the weekends, putting it on a more simplistic basis. And so what is so critical is that the parties have the same plan. They think alike. They have the same philosophy. They're not in different worlds. So I'm going to give you a little
and
example.
Mike, if I can sure. interject here, I think it's also important to put out there that partners need to communicate. What do you expect from each other? If you have a partner who doesn't have a family and a partner who does have a family, you need to, you know, set the boundaries. Hey, you know, I'm willing to put in the blood, sweat, and tears, but on Sunday is my family day. So that the partners really communicate together and you know which each one is going to be responsible for and who's willing to do what and what their limitations are. So just had to put that out there.
Yes, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about a little bit on the operating agreement. Mm-hmm. When you're dealing with the operating agreement is really your rules that you're going to conduct the business under. And so what does that mean? It talks about how you're going to do your banking, who has the authority to do most of the check writing, how much authority someone has. Is it up to 2,000, 5,000, 10,000? There's so many times that situations occur where I've been involved in not personally, but with clients where money has been siphoned off and stolen. And you got to be able to look at your accounts. You always want to make sure that you've protected yourself in that regard. So you've got issues there. You've got issues of who can hire and fire employees. Mm-hmm. You've got issues dealing with how to negotiate, let's say, a lease or an automobile purchase, if that's the case. Who's the person authorized to do that? So you've got to list out the job descriptions of each of the parties that are going to do functions for the company. I want to the other area that's really critical is buyouts. Mm-hmm. I've seen so many of these, and again, you and I, Jess, have worked on this for clients many times.
Somebody
dies, and the heirs come in, and the heirs don't know who you are. And I want to go back a little bit to something where I remember many times you're going to start a business and you're putting together an employment agreement or an operating agreement. And I always remember that, like, let's say friends of mine or relatives, they would say, well, it's not that I don't trust you, but I just want to make sure if you get hit by a bus that this is going to be how it works, because I don't know what's going to happen. And the other side is, well, why do you need an operating agreement? Don't you trust me? And let me tell you a couple of situations that are a nightmare when you don't have an operating agreement. You have a situation, let's say, that you and I are partners, Jess.
Yes.
And we have another person in the business. And I have a son, and I sign a lease guarantee for my son on a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And that lease fails, the restaurant goes broke, and the landlord sues me as the guarantor. All of a sudden, that landlord is looking at getting a garnishment or a charging order, actually, against my membership interest in the LLC to be able to collect any distributions. So now I've got the stress on me that I'm dealing with, and you're looking at this and saying, well, look, we're partners. You're supposed to do X. I'm doing Y. I'm sorry that you got this problem going on, but it's impacting our business because we're splitting monies and you're not doing your job. Another situation similar to that is I'm going through a divorce, and the court rules that based on the documentation of our marriage, that the wife inherits my shares of the company. Now you have a totally new partner, and that wife decides, well, you can't do this and you don't know how to do that. And we ought to decorate the building this way and we ought to fire this employee. And you know some of those situations that all of a sudden you've got a nightmare on your hands.
Right.
The other thing is the third partner didn't pay their taxes and the IRS comes in and they have a charging order and now you're dealing with the IRS, or you have that third person that didn't pay their credit card debt or their bank credit line. And now you've got that bank attorney chasing down you, looking at your books and files, trying to determine what the partner that owes the money is supposed to give you, give the bank. And so your business is disrupted by that again. So you can see a scenario of events that occur when in life things happen. And like I say, all of these things occur. And so the issue is, how do you resolve that in advance? And that is when you have in your operating agreement the proper buyout provisions. And those buyout provisions provide that if any of these things happen, the company buys the shares of the member that is going through problems at a price set and a formula preset in the agreement. So ideally, what you want to have is that the automatic provisions apply. You have very, very little negotiations to do, because I can guarantee you what happens in a fight like that is you say it's white, I say it's black. You say I'll buy you out for $10,000, and of course, if I want to buy you out, it's $50,000. That's always what goes on these
right.
things. But there's a formula, then it goes into automatic effect and there's no negotiation. It just happens. And you've seen that. And so I want to give an example of a business. We're going to be coming up on a break soon.
Mm-hmm.
And this business, we have two partners that I'm working with right now, and they defaulted on loans that they had. And so the pressure came down that one partner was a guarantor of the loan, the other one was not, but he indemnified a third person who was involved. And so you have this bank lawsuit going against partner A. Partner B is trying to run the business. Partner A is constantly in meetings with his lawyer on what to do. You have a disruption. The employees start to look at this and say, do I have a job or am I going to lose my job? I better start putting my resume out,
right?
Because these guys may not last, and therefore I might as well get out before I'm fired or let go. And the clientele find out about this type of thing, and they all start looking at exit strategies. We better start looking at somebody else to pick up our accounts and do things. So you can see how this type of non-planning will cause severe problems in any relationship between partners. And so I'm going to give a little bit more story on this, but it looks like we're going to come to a break here. So Jess, when we come back,
mm-hmm.
Think of some of the experiences that you had on some of the jobs that we worked on, because you've interacted with the clients directly.
Right.
And you can view it from a different perspective than I did.
Right.
So let's go to our break right now, and then we'll come back and talk about these issues.
Sounds good.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business. At Intuitive Strategies, LLC, we provide services to our clients that help them develop a strong education in business. And we also help them to develop a strategy that will allow them to turn their skills into a profit, protect their business and personal assets, and plan for a successful retirement. Our consulting and structuring services include business analysis, budget analysis, management analysis, ability to raise capital from investors, tax planning to minimize tax liability under code, as well as legal structure to protect business from frivolous lawsuits. Intuitive Strategies also provides document preparation services, such as business structuring documents, documents that establish an entity, management agreements, retirement plans, estate planning, wills, and trusts. Let Intuitive Strategies help you with your business. Visit intuitivestartup.com or call us in Tucson at 520-425-8759. Visit intuitivestartup.com today.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Strategies for Financial Survival with your host, Michael Figueroa. If you have a question or comment about the program, please send us an email to support@intuitivestartup.com. That's support@intuitivestartup.com. Now, back to Strategies for Financial Survival.
Welcome back. So we were talking about problems that pop up because of partners that did not plan ahead with their in their operating agreement. So what to do and how to deal with it. Just give some examples of what you've seen and heard regarding some of these situations that you can remember or think of.
Well, there's so many. You've got down to when a husband and a wife are a partner in a business, and you've got 20 years of building the business under your belt. The economy has affected the business. You're getting divorced. You've defaulted on a bank loan. Though, how do you protect the business in those kind of situations so that one or the other doesn't walk away with the business? How do you protect the business when you default on a bank loan, but you want the profitability of the company to remain intact and to be able to continue to run the business? Those are all where your operating is crucial. You don't want to think as a husband and wife going in business together that 10 years down the line, you've created this successful business, and then all of a sudden you're going to get divorced and you're going to file bankruptcy. And you're going to do all of this stuff. So that's an instance where planning ahead, it really makes sense with an operating agreement. Then you have maybe an operator. I've had one client who owned and operated a restaurant, and she was diagnosed with the terminal cancer. At that point, her priorities in life were her and her health. How do you structure, how do you protect the restaurant and all of its employees when the owner operator is potentially not going to be around anymore? So if you have an operating agreement in place that addresses those kind of situations, and it's unfortunate, you have to think about those. It's kind of like estate planning. You're planning for your demise before your demise. It's a scary, it's a complicated, it's sad, it's hard to even think of all the situations. But these are points where operating agreements are crucial. The buyout provisions, bankruptcy provisions, everything of that sort comes into play. And as a certified legal document preparer, we're limited, but Precision Legal works with so many different attorneys in town. We can definitely obtain legal advice and help you structure your operating agreement under the advisement of an attorney for a very discounted cost. So there's a lot of things to take into consideration that people won't think about, or maybe they're scared to think about when they're creating a business.
Yes. So these are some of the things that, of course, we again want to make sure that they're addressed. So let me go back a little bit to an investor. A lot of times we call somebody a partner because the partner is really an investor. You'll have one person that's going to run the day-to-day and do the work, and you have either a second partner that does work and brings in money, or you could have a partner that comes in and brings money and does nothing other than gets a return. So if we go back
to what induces an investor to come in. And just want to think about this as let's see, we're going to go out there. And in fact, you gave me a business plan back when so that I could look at and we would look at funding investors' monies in the business. So in that business plan, and when I did a $10 million one, I had to go back and forth. I used other business plan models that were somewhat similar to what I was trying to do. A lot of times I could get these on the internet or through friends or brokers, but it gave me an outline. That outline said, here's the overall business, here's who the market is, here's the competition, here are the management team members, and as you go through each of these, you want to make sure that you address that. So if we look at that outline, as you went down that outline, did you think about those issues and say, you know, I didn't think of competition. What does the competition charge for this? And the partners that I'm going to take in, what are they going to actually do? Are they going to work in a specific area? Are we going to cross over, or are they just going to be silent partners? Did you think that or address that when you were putting your business plan together?
Of course. I definitely thought about those things because your basic belief or thought is that I'm going to bring an investor in who's going to help capitalize the company, but eventually I want the company to be all of mine. And how am I going to secure my investor, and what kind of things am I going to offer my investor that would secure them and then make it sound like a good thing, but then also say, hey, you know, after 5 years, I want to pay you off and I want your interest back. So those are definite things that I thought of when preparing my business plan, because eventually you want the business to be yours. When you have an investor, they have say in your business because they have a stake in your business.
In analyzing why I would invest and what my plan is, what I was mentioning was that I, let's say, don't want to be a working partner.
Right.
I would use my expertise to guide you and to help structure the budget and the legal document.
Correct.
In this regard, the key thing that I, as an investor, and most investors want to know if there's a buyout, and of course, that's the critical thing, is you to work it off, make this successful, and now so yours. To that, you have to think, well, what does this investor want as a yield on their money with their risk? No,
right.
You buy a CD today, it's 1%. We know that if you are lending money on real estate, it ranges from 8 to 12%.
Right.
We know that if you're investing in the stock market, you can get anything from 5 to 12%, depending on what your appetite for risk is. So in a situation like this, I would say from my experience, I would probably want about a 20% return on my money to compensate for the risk. And there was a mentor of mine who had established a mortgage company. And he had a really unique formula. He had five young partners, and he put up the initial money, and I believe it was $100,000 to start this mortgage company, and guaranteed $400,000 in a credit line loan so that they could do what they had to do, because he had a substantial net worth. And now he started out owning 75% of the company.
Right.
And every year of profitability, the company had to buy out 10% of his interest. No, I believe it was 5%. 5% of his interest until he was down to 25%, and then he was done. But what would happen is that the other young partners who were working the day-to-day were then
in the position of knowing, well, we can buy this guy down and basically out, and it's our company to do what we want, and that happens over time. So it's not a rush job. So I found that to be a really interesting, unique situation.
But I probably think that would be the best situation if you are bringing in someone to give you the capital of your company, because you want to give them incentive to do it, but also so they don't think, oh, well, I'm going to help them grow this, capitalize their company. They're going to make it successful, and then I'm going to be get the short end of the stick. There definitely has to be some kind of benefit your investor gets through the return of the company.
And so we're back to the operating agreement.
Right.
So you could put a formula in there that says that when the investor receives all his money back and then gets a yield of X percent, whatever you negotiate,
right.
I give you ranges, I'm giving you what I would do, then you move forward and you know you can exercise that. We're working on another one, as you know, where the person has done a substantial he did a patent on an application that is a computer. Since I'm not a techie, I don't know how to describe it, but it's a patent, and it may do very, very well. And the key is, what are the provisions that allow for him to buy his investors out at a really good yield in the future? And again, the investor, the higher the risk, the higher the yield. So you got to have that thought through when you approach the investor. And again, whenever the investor can have security as a lien on something, and in this one case, we're giving the investor a lien on the patent so that if everything fell apart, they at least have the patent. But usually you give them a lien on everything, and then you have your buyout provisions. But you want an investor, ideally, who is someone that has value to the business. They have connections. They have contacts. They have some background expertise where they can help you. So this is a really critical item to make sure that you've covered that. And then on some companies, on the bigger ones that I've dealt with, I always like to put together a board of advisors, I call them.
Mm-hmm.
And board of advisors is like your attorney, your CPA, your banker, a business guy, people related to your area, but also that you need in the business so that they come together and they advise you on your business plan and your financials. And they also bring you business. They market you out there. And we've done that with people, and that's worked out really well, because then they say, hey, if we expand this thing, we know what you're doing. We know how you're doing. We've seen your financials, and we will invest new money in. And instead of 20%, hey, you know, a 12% yield might be okay.
Right.
It looks like we got our last break here before we go into our last 15 minutes. So I'm going to hold on this until, and then we'll come back and finish our conversation on some of these issues with investors.
Sounds good.
Okay.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network. At Intuitive Strategies, LLC, we provide services to our clients that help them develop a strong education in business. And we also help them to develop a strategy that will allow them to turn their skills into a profit, protect their business and personal assets, and plan for a successful retirement. Our consulting and structuring services include business analysis, budget analysis, management analysis, ability to raise capital from investors, tax planning to minimize tax liability under code, as well as legal structure to protect business from frivolous lawsuits. Intuitive Strategies also provides document preparation services, such as business structuring documents, documents that establish an entity, management agreements, retirement plans, estate planning, wills, and trusts. Let Intuitive Strategies help you with your business. Visit intuitivestartup.com or call us in Tucson at 520-425-8759. Visit intuitivestartup.com today. Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network. You are listening to Strategies for Financial Survival with your host, Michael Figueroa. If you have a question or comment about the program, please send us an email to support@intuitivestartup.com. That's support@intuitivestartup.com. Now, back to Strategies for Financial Survival.
Welcome back, everyone. So we were talking about investors and how to induce them to invest and what they generally want to see happen in order to invest money in the company. So I was going to wrap that part up. And Jess, did you have any comments on any of the issues so far before I go? I'm going to talk a bit about retirement plans.
Okay. I think the only comment that I have in regards in starting up a business is I really urge my clients and any of my friends or family who talk about this to really do their research. Just like we spoke about investors, what is your investor going to want? Do you want your dad to be your investor? Because then it becomes a family issue and not just a business issue.
Oh, yes.
So all the things that you spoke about, brought up, and that we discussed, when you're forming your business, you want to do the research and you really want to look at who you want to bring in as your investors, because that can create a boatload of issues down the line if it's friends or family. You know, just like I say every day, you never discuss religion, politics, or money with friends and family. It just becomes a disaster.
Yes, that is so correct. And we've seen that happen many times.
Oh, yes.
Because we're back to the issue of who do you want to marry?
Right.
Who do you want to live with? And you got to think that through, because too many people say, oh, you have money? Who are you? You just came off the street? And, okay, I'm going to work, and you have the money, and we'll be partners. And then you find out that they're crazy people.
Right.
So put yourself in a disaster.
Exactly. So the advice is the most important part of creating your company or your business is your operation, your operating agreement. That will spell out every detail down to the penny. You don't want just some general operating agreement. I know a lot of people just think, oh, this is easy. This is simple. We're just beginning. Nothing will happen. And 5 years down the line, you've never readdressed your operating agreement issues. And now you have a partner who wants to leave and wants 50% of the profit because they think it's earned to them. Mm-hmm. But so there's so many steps. And if you really lay it out now, like an estate plan, you can avoid these issues down the line. So that is really crucial. And that's really when you come to Precision Legal Preparation to form your LLC or your corporation, really what you're paying for is a very detailed, in-depth, protective bylaw document or an operating document. And that's really what we're selling to you.
That's very good. People really got to think those issues through. And some of the other things I want to mention in this area that you would be dealing with is dealing with borrowing money, let's say in your business. Mm-hmm. If you're going to borrow money from a bank or anybody, you always want to borrow it in the name of the entity. Now, most lenders will require a personal guarantee. And I would say, if it's at all possible, what you want to do in your personal guarantee is make sure, if you can negotiate it this way, that you have an ability built in the guarantee to allow for a payment of any amount due under the guarantee, rather than a lump sum that you could never pay anyway.
Right.
So instead of having a crisis on your hands like that, you would arrange to deal with a payment schedule.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about some of those sources.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, of course, you mentioned family and friends.
Right.
And what I've seen many times, and you probably have seen, if there's a good business or a good opportunity, you'll get family and friends that will say, oh, I've got X dollars, and I'd be glad to put that in. I would like a yield of 10%, let's say, or 12%.
Right.
And they put the money in. There's no note. There's no promissory note.
Dangerous.
There's no loan agreement.
Right.
There's no security. There's no thought process, because what both of us have seen is something pops up. The friend's son wants a car, or they have to go to college now, and
right.
all of a sudden they call you and they say, oh, I need my money next week. Can you cash me out?
Right.
That's an impossibility. Have you seen that happen? You know, situations like that?
I think it really happens on a day-to-day basis. If you look at Small's Claims Court, you'll see this every single day of the year that this happens. Just because they're family doesn't mean you shouldn't put the provisions, the terms, the payback in writing. And it has brought companies to their knees because of things of this sort. Because you go based off of, oh, I trust you. And that causes a lot of problems down the line.
Yeah, and it's a good point. I trust you. I can trust you, but I can't trust what the universe does to you.
Correct.
You know, God forbid you get ill or an accident or something happens, and so you can't do anything in that world.
Right.
So then you have private money brokers that will lend money, but they know what they're doing generally. They require security. They have a promissory note. They have conditions. Banks really, general. Go ahead.
And when you go to private money, guys, you really want to have an attorney in your court.
Yes,
I really think you have to protect yourself, because they're, if you don't know what you're doing and you're not very versed in the hard money or, you know, capitalization loans, you can end up losing any kind of power over your company due to the investor that you brought in. So it's really important to read those docs. And if you don't really understand them, see an attorney to make sure that they don't have a possibility of buying you out when that company becomes successful, which we've seen before, and we've had
yes.
clients that that's happened to.
Yes, that is right. They kick you out of your own business.
Exactly,
yes.
It all boils down to, Mike, protection, thinking of the future, whether you want to or not.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God almighty, we're coming to the end. We're down to the last 2 minutes.
Too fast.
So, again, let's talk about how people contact you. Tell them again what you do, maybe an itinerary of some of your products, and how to contact you. And if you know some pricing, maybe you can give that. Otherwise, your webpage information.
Okay. Well, the company is Precision Legal Preparation. We're basically a legal dot prep company. Can pretty much do everything under the sun that the Arizona Supreme Court allows us to. You can contact us right now. My website is under construction, so be patient. It's www.precisionlegalpreparation.com. I can be contacted at my business phone, 520-465-1156. We set up LLCs, we set up corporations, we can amend both and restructure and reorganize your companies. I work with a lot of private investors who like when I do their notes and their deeds of trust, JV agreements. you know, things of that sort, deed of trust, very simple things, $25-$50, basic single member LLCs. Really what you're paying for is the operating agreement. Everything else is basic. And you're probably looking at about $300 to $400 with the filing fees and publication costs. We do simple civil litigation matters, child custody, child, you know, family law issues. We also do Chapter 7 bankruptcies for a very, very nice cost, a $300 to do it plus your filing fee. So we can do a lot of stuff for you. I have a great crew of paralegals who have 20 plus years of experience, and we're really trying to get out there and help the community and bridge the gap between the CLDP and the attorneys, because we work with attorneys on a daily basis. So give us a call if we can help you out.
Very good, Jess. Thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for inviting me.
And our last show, I'll be doing a wrap-up of the things that we talked about, and also talk a bit about retirement plans and how to use them for investing purposes, self-directed plans specifically. Well, that's the end of this show, and I'll look forward to having the last show and then coming back in a number of months thereafter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you again for tuning in to Strategies for Financial Survival. Please join host Michael Figueroa again next Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Until the next show, survive and succeed.